We'll look at the confidence it takes to switch jobs in an uncertain economy.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Today, we get a new window on jobs in America, one the Federal Reserve watches closely to measure the strength of the overall labor market. Its acronym is JOLTS, or Job Openings and Labor Turnover Survey. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has more.
Today's report includes the quits rate. It tells us how many people are leaving their jobs voluntarily, maybe because they got a better offer or think they can look around for a while without becoming long-term unemployed. Since the recession, the quits rate has remained stubbornly low. John Challenger at outplacement firm Challenger, Gray & Christmas thinks many workers are recession-scarred.
Even if I might get paid more money, safety is still of high value. Better to hold on to the job I have than to take something new.
Elise Gould at the Economic Policy Institute says workers don't see that they have any bargaining power with employers.
The fact that we've seen sluggish wage growth, workers see that. They know they can't bid up their wages because there are so many people waiting online, maybe on the unemployment rolls, maybe out of the labor force.
Gould says workers think they'll face a lot of competition if they jump ship and go job hunting again. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
It's turning out to be a bleak autumn for factories in one pivotal global economy, Germany's. BBC business reporter Russell Padmore is following this from London. Morning, Russell.
Good morning, David.
Something's gone wrong with German industry as we leave the summer and get into the autumn here.
Yeah, you've seen numbers coming out of Germany today, David, that are really worrying economists here in Europe. German industrial production for August down 4% compared to July. It's raising fears that just maybe Germany is headed into recession. Remember, for the second quarter of the year, the German economy did fall back. So worry is suddenly emerging about the strength of the powerhouse economy here in Europe. It's the number one in the Eurozone, of course, as well. And we've seen the euro falling in value against the US dollar today. That possible decline in GDP is raising fears that just maybe the European Central Bank and indeed the German government needs to do something to stoke up the country's economy.
The BBC's Russell Padmore, thank you. Germany's woes are dragging down share prices in Europe right now. Let's do the numbers. The key index on the German stock market, the DAX, is down about 0.8%. The CAC 40 in Paris down 1.1%. The 100-share index in London is down 0.6%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down a hint, but only a hint, about opening prices in the U.S. time zones later this morning. I know it's an existential question for a business reporter, but do these numbers actually mean anything? Kai Rizdahl, myself, and the rest of the Marketplace crew will have some fun exploring this question live on stage in New York next week, October 16th. Tickets at 92y.org. Public health officials continue to track the well-being of about 50 patients in the Dallas area who may have been exposed to the Ebola virus. To date, there are no signs of infection. The labor-intensive surveillance operation is being run by local health officials and a pair of epidemiologists for the CDC. The two are officers in the CDC's Epidemic Intelligence Service. With the Ebola outbreak growing, these disease detectives are taking an increasingly important role. From the Marketplace Health Desk at WHYY, Dan Gorenstein has a profile of people who fly into communicable disease hotspots for a living.
Let's be honest. There's something a little nuts about being in the Epidemic Intelligence Service.
What's the type of person who wants to walk into an Ebola outbreak instead of walk away from it?
Jennifer Hunter is one of the two EIS officers in Dallas who's keeping tabs on the 50 people who came into contact with Liberian Thomas Duncan.
I think there's nothing more you can do than to help be part of something as large as this is and as important.
EIS alum Tracy Creek says most EIS folks are passionate, geeky problem solvers dedicated to public service. And every year, the CDC hires 70 to 80 of them to spend 2 years tackling everything from smoking cessation to H1N1 outbreaks. Creek says the EIS logo sums up their work.
It's a sole of a shoe with a hole worn in it. You're supposed to be the feet on the ground of our public health infrastructures.
Yep, a logo that could have been dreamed up by Dashiell Hammett. Certainly, EIS officers in Dallas earned their disease detective badge this week, tracking down doctors and nurses, lab techs, and custodial staff, anyone who may have handled the patient's fluids. But that's just one part of the job. EIS officers must solve problems, be a kind of fixer.
We're not fully meeting the demand, and it's a very challenging situation.
Peter Kilmarks has spent the last month in Sierra Leone, where he's been running CDC's operations. One problem Kilmarks got is lining up enough burial teams to pick up the highly infectious bodies. Handle them wrong, and the disease spreads.
There's been deaths among these burial team drivers and staff. At times when there's a call about a cadaver in the community, we're not able to have a quick response.
In some sense, the solution is straightforward. Kilmarks needs more money for protective gear, staff, ambulances. But with the number of people dying nearly doubling every month, Kilmarks says resources are stretched.
We're barely keeping up with what we've got, and thinking ahead to twice as many 30 days from now is daunting.
In the past, when Kilmarks needed three laptops or three motorcycles, he just tapped the nonprofit CDC Foundation, which cuts checks quicker than the agency. The speed of this epidemic means there's more going out the foundation's door than is coming in. And now, Kilmarks has another problem to solve. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
And here's a story we'll be following. The Justice Department is reportedly working on a new set of charges against Wall Street firms. The New York Times says this morning that collusion in currency markets is one area being investigated. Foreign currency trading is one of the least regulated areas of the market. Charges could come by the end of the year. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.